Bonsoir à tous. Merci d'être venus nombreux pour cette session numéro 12 de Processing Bordeaux, un événement qui se déroule depuis janvier 2012 à l'IBOT et qui, pour l'occasion de la semaine digitale, est passé au CAPC avec deux invités, Marc Webster du Free Art Bureau, qui est une association qui est dédiée aux artistes et designers qui utilisent le code comme outil de création. Et j'ai l'immense honneur de recevoir aussi Frieder Naik, qui vient donner une conférence pour la première fois en France. Donc Frieder Naik, qui sera présenté par Marc et qui se présentera lui-même, qui est un des pionniers, on peut dire, de l'art génératif, donc de comment créer des images avec un code, un programme informatique. Donc sans plus tarder, je vais laisser la parole à Marc Webster, qui va nous présenter un petit peu la session de ce soir. Donc la session se fera en anglais. Vous avez des casques à disposition pour la traduction. Donc elle se déroulera en deux temps. Premier temps de présentation de Frieder Naik, qui présentera son travail, l'évolution et plus généralement l'utilisation du code pour la création d'images. Et ensuite viendra une deuxième partie de questions-réponses. Donc Marc posera des questions à Frieder et vous aurez aussi la possibilité de poser des questions à Frieder ou à Marc ou aux deux en même temps. Voilà, je laisse la parole à Marc et à tout à l'heure. Merci.
Merci Julien. Okay, this is the part where we start to talk in English. So thanks a lot to Julien. A big thank you as well for the IBOT, Julien, and the CAPC for organizing this event. It's like Julien said, this is the first time that Frieder Naik has actually given a conference in France, a lecture. And really, it's an immense pleasure personally, and I think it should be an immense pleasure for a lot of people to hear what Frieder has to say, what he has to present this evening. What I'm going to do is just give a little presentation of Frieder, and then he'll jump into his lecture, which is going to be an absolutely passionate moment. So, Frieder Naik was born in 1938 in Stuttgart, Germany. He is one of the founding fathers of digital computer art, creating his first computer graphics in 1963 at the Center Technische Hochschule in Stuttgart, and exhibiting for the first time in 1965. His main work phases are identified by the collection of the following programs. Firstly, CompArt ER56, which was in 1963 to 1965. Walkthrough Raster, which was done in 1966. Matrix Multiplication, 67-68, and Generative Aesthetics 1 in 1968-69. Now, all these early groundbreaking works, if I'm right in saying, were pretty much influenced by, in one case, a German philosopher called Max Spencer. And Max Spencer was a figure whose writings in the domain of information aesthetics influenced a generation of artists, researchers, philosophers, scientists, who were loosely linked with the New Tendencies movement, a movement which brought to the fore a different approach in creative practice through algorithmic thinking. Now, Frieder Naik declared in 1971 not to want to continue producing computer art and published a paper entitled "There Should Be No Computer Art." In this paper, Frieda argued that art is dominated by the art dealer, by style, by fashion, and by the market. And he concludes that we need no more art, that rather we need responsible content. Now, later on, he resumed his activities in the mid-80s, and in 1999, he launched his Comp Art project, which is a continually growing online archive dedicated to computer art. Frieda currently lives and works in Bremen, Germany, teaching at the University of the Arts, where he continues to pass on his precious knowledge in a variety of subjects, such as digital media, computer art and design, interactive systems, and computational semiotics. So, without further ado, Frieda Nacker, thank you for coming here.
Thank you very much, Mark. I apologize, first of all, not being able to do this in French, which I would like, because the sound already is much nicer, although the English language has, and I have, I believe, some sort of an American accent. It may be that comes from my having lived and worked in Canada, Toronto and Vancouver. So sorry for this. As a German, I should really be able to speak French, but I was too stupid in school. Thank you, Marc, Julien, for bringing me here. When they invited me, I was surprised to really realize, unless my own notes are wrong, that I have never professionally done anything in France, no? Although this is a Grande Nation, I had never had the chance to do this. I don't know why, so that's really nice of you, no, just before I die, to get that opportunity. I want to apologize for a typo that you see down here. Only coming here, I realized that digital is written with an E. If it's la semaine that it refers to. Sorry for this, that shows you something. I also want to apologize, but that's a fault of the projector working with that computer, for the yellow. That is way too yellow, given my tastes. No. All right. And I'll switch over there. No, I tell you one anecdote before. We are in 2013 now, and Mark said I did something in 1963, so if you calculate, that's just 50 years. So that's great. No, I get the chance to say something in Bordeaux when it's 50 years of doing something. And the anecdote is beautiful. I was a young student then, and this professor in the computing center where I was working, you know, doing mathematics, doing numerical mathematics, helping people to calculate, essentially. This morning he comes and says, you know what, with a beautiful Viennese accent, you know what, we are buying a drawing machine. Aha, you are buying a drawing machine. I had no idea what a drawing machine is. I knew what a drawing board is, but a drawing machine, no idea. But, he says, continuing, but we do not have any software. Oh, that's also interesting, because working in the computing center, I assumed a drawing machine would be a drawing machine that is somehow linked to a computer. Therefore, you need software, otherwise nothing will be happening. And then he continues, would you do it? Great moment. That changed my life. No? That very moment shows you what a good teacher is. He trusts in his student, of whom he has no idea, will he, that student, or she, be able to do the job? I'm also proud of myself because I said yes. I tell my students nowadays this little anecdote, asking them, before I tell them what my reaction was, I ask them, what would be your reaction? Oh, I would go home, I think about it, I would Google. No? Is there software for drawing machines and so forth? So that very moment, I believe, shows you how a university should function. No? On trust between teacher and student. Universities, as I know them from Germany, they are based on mistrust. Each and every professor mistrusts all students because they are always cheating. Therefore, they have installed tremendous systems of exams, right? Huh? That you sweat for. Instead of just trusting, hello, would you do something that you have no idea of? And if the student says yes, that's great. That's the great moment. Okay, so much for that little story as a background. Teaching is movement, no? Therefore, it's impossible. It's impossible to be standing still when speaking. That's impossible for me. So I gave this presentation that title that consists of two parts. A minor, the subtitle regarding what I'm going to try to with you, regarding the beginnings of something in quotes, computer art. The quotes are to indicate, hello, this is a very stupid term, but it's been used, therefore I use it here also, but I put it in quotes in order to get a distance. That's what I'll be talking about, the subtitle. But with a goal. And the goal, the aim, my intention is that we'll learn perhaps a bit about, now what is that about? Doing something that is claimed to be artistic, using a computer instead of your hand, canvas, brush, paints, doing something with that digital technology must have to do definitely with algorithms, and the area, the domain would then be algorithmics and aesthetics. No? So we'll talk about this little event there, 50 years old now, roughly, from the point of view of our current time. Because to look into history is always nice, but it's good to do only if you draw some conclusions for your current time. Otherwise, it's boring. All right. This is the resolution, sorry. This thing that you can hardly decipher here, this small drawing in original size, was shown at the first ever show of computer art, started in February, on the 5th of February, 65, done by Georg Nees. So he is the person who first exhibited. We'll see a bit more in 1965 what happened. Even though we do not see much detail here, I want to spend a few words on what we see here. Because we already see two principles. First of all, you may agree that this is more or less following a grid structure, right? We see something repeating in columns and rows. There is, if you count, 14 columns, 19, I believe, rows. So 14 times 19, that's roughly 15 times 20, that's easy, 300. So a little less than 300 such little figures are assembled here. Now, the grid structure in the late 50s and into the 60s and even after was extremely important for a lot of design. You probably know all those, and I don't talk. Well, here we have Vasarely, right? Think of him, his son also, Ivaral. And so in the grid structure, one of the governing structures here in a regular grid, you can of course have irregular grids, and what is happening in each of the little cells of that grid? A program is working there. A very simple program that is creating these shapes. So when you use a computer, what do you gain in comparison? You set up a schema that you then repeat. No? Computers are absolutely boring. Boring so much that you can get excited about, right? You do get excited, don't you, about Samuel Beckett? You do, right? It's absolutely, I speak to you, the French, although he was Irish, but you know the story. About boredom, we can get excited. Boredom is not just negative. At least since Beckett, we do know this, don't we? All right. I want to tell you an anecdote that happened at the opening of that first exhibition in Stuttgart of Georg Nese's drawings. Max Bense, whose gallery was housing this exhibition, had good relations to the local artists in Stuttgart, in the south of Germany, you could say. And usually they came to the openings from up there on the hill was the Fine Arts Academy. So they were here also, because what had been announced, generative aesthetics had been announced. What the hell is this? Nobody in the world had ever heard that word by the time, 1965, early. And after Bense had spoken, I will get back to this in a minute, Georg Nese, the engineer, gave dry explanations of how he did those drawings. It was just 12 small size drawings that were on display, how he had done this. Okay, so that's over. Polite applause. And then the free artist, the free painter, Heinz Trökes, you wouldn't know his name, raises his hand and says, "Young man, can I ask a question?" "Yes, of course." "All right. Very nice what you told us. But can you answer the following question to me? Would you be able..." Trökes, the fine artist, asks the engineer, "Would you be able to make your machine draw and paint in the way I do it?" Trökes, the artist. Great question. Trökes probably expected that this will be the end, no, of this terrible event, that computers are doing something that here, by being shown in a gallery, claims to be artistic. Georg Nese thinks for a moment. He's a real dry person. He has never laughed. And says, "Yes, of course. If you tell me how you do it." Absolutely fabulous moment. That in a nutshell, the great problem of artificial intelligence showed up. "Yes, of course, I will be able to program my machine such that it paints and draws as you do it, under the condition that you please tell me." Knowing very well that he would not be able to tell. Right? Because we are capable of telling how we do something. Only if we have analyzed that action of ours tremendously, in all detail. And that's that answer that Georg Nees gave Troekes there, means that, you know what, don't be afraid. Because you will not be able to tell me how you do it. Therefore, I will not be able to do it. If you were, then that would mean that we have now trivialized drawing and painting. Because then all of a sudden we can tell. And what we can tell precisely, we can put onto a machine. This is a great moment, 5th of February 1965, when it happened. I believe that was a great moment. Now, the artists, and some amongst them had names, at least in a German context, the artists left. No, they slammed the doors. Bullshit! We don't allow you to speak like this with us. Max Spencer gets nervous because he feels, oh, heaven's sake, I want to have good relations to those. So he rushes behind them. Please, gentlemen, stay. This is only artificial art. I put these two out of this little anecdote. In a dense moment of, I don't know, maybe 3 minutes, something happened there. I had told you that other anecdote before, things happen in short moments. Most of the time we work like mad, repetitive. And we have our computers do something, Photoshop and something else. Processing, nice. But things happen in dense moments occasionally. So Benze there invents the term artificial art. This is 65, high time of artificial intelligence. His term that he used here in order to defend and at the same time tell the artist, you know what, implicitly, you are doing natural art. This is somehow nice, but it's only artificial. If you follow a philosophy of the artificial, the human being, that creature in the world whose nature is artificiality, then that makes some sense to you. Our nature is culture. And culture, which you know since Karl Marx, is the enemy of nature. And we witness this nowadays tremendously. Right? Don't we do? Yes. Each and every move of capital nowadays is a step against nature.